Thank you for visiting the Illinois Supported Employment Transformation Initiative website. The following recording is part of our Supported Employment Podcast Library. For more information about our initiative, please visit the website at www.sampleips.weebly.com.
Hello, my name is Darius McKinney. I work for the Illinois Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health, and today I'm here to talk about developing the career profile. Basically, one of the most important things to a job seeker is trying to determine what that person wants to do. As an employment specialist, one of his or her most important functions as an employment specialist is helping that person develop a career profile. A career profile is the building blocks of any job search or any job development, because it's very, very hard to go out in the community and try to job develop, find a job that fits somebody without having the building blocks of trying to find out what that person wants to do, what he likes to do, or what she desires to do. So the career profile is a very, very important aspect as far as IPS. So today we're going to talk about that. The objectives are basically for this training is, you know, what is a career profile, completing a career profile, and also using the profile on job development. So first and foremost, what is a career profile? A career profile refers to a document in which the employment specialist records work and educational preferences, work history, educational history, strengths, justice system involvement, and other information that's important to employment goal. And to a person's employment goals. You know, other terms, people can call it a vocational assessment or a vocational profile. Certain areas even call it a career assessment. So all those things basically are the same thing, saying what a career profile is. Some things that a career profile is not. I think that's very, very important to understand what a career profile is not, especially in the IPS model. What a career profile is not a questionnaire, is not a standardized vocational test of ability, is not an intelligence test, is not a work sample, is not a physical or drug test, is not a situational assessment or like a work tryout, is not a one-time completed document, and is also not developed in just one session. All those things are not truly what a career profile is. So basically, when doing a career profile, it's completed over one or two sessions. You know, it's used as an engagement piece to really try to identify what your job seeker wants to do. You gather a ton of information, so it's very, very comprehensive. It asks things about hobbies, likes, dislikes, things about how long a person wants to work, location of what they want to work, you know, past work history. It includes all those items as well. It's an ongoing document, which means basically, you know, you even though you complete it in maybe two or three sessions, you know, during that whole time that you're working with that person with a job, and even when they have a job, you still gather information about their work life. So you can still, even after a person has a job, still add to that career profile and figure out what a person likes and what they dislike. It's updated with changes and preferences. So if somebody has a change of heart of what they want to do because they maybe witnessed that or toured a site or something like that, you can always change your profile and change your preferences. It's updated with information and work experience from jobs. So again, as a person works, it's always updated because as a person works, he or she may find new things they like and they might find things that they don't like. And so if a job search ever needs to happen again, the information is definitely recorded. And it also aims at problem solving environmental things. So you use your environment, you use your surroundings also to figure out what that person wants to do. Does he or she like a busy work environment? Does he like quiet? Does she like to be around people? Does he like to be micromanaged or does she not like to be micromanaged? All those different things. Does she like to work outside? All those things also are a part of the career profile. So you gather different information from different resources. And there are so many different places that you gather this type of information from. First and foremost, of course, you gather from the job seeker. So depending on what he or she preferences are and what he or she likes to do, you gather information from him or her. You also gather information from different treatment team members. They have a vast knowledge of when working with that person for, you know, a few months, a few years, a few days. They have information they have gathered in their history of working with that person that might help with that career profile. Clinical records are also important. Also, there's information on clinical records that you might gather information from. You know, if a person has an anger management problem, you know, you might pick that from clinical records, and that might be something you want to discuss as you, you know, work with that person in seeking a job. Family members, definitely with permission. If that client gives you permission to talk to family members, they have an insight as well of what a person wants to do and how he or she is happy when they had been working before, or, you know, what they might be satisfied in working in future endeavors. Teachers, that's a good resource also. Teachers have a good knowledge of determining what a person's special interests are, what they like to do, what they not like to do, what they excel at, what they're good at. You know, teachers are a good resource. Previous employers, of course, with client's permission, that is a good resource too. Previous employers can determine a lot of stuff of what went well on the job, what didn't go so hot in the job, what things needed to be improved so that person became successful in working at that in that environment. So that's a good work as well. Field trips in the community. When I say field trips, that means going out in the community and really observing different work settings. So, for instance, you take a person who said he wants to work or she wants to work in a dry cleaner. So you take them on a field trip to a dry cleaner and observe all the things that a person does in a dry cleaning setting, whether it's the cashier, whether it's interacting with the consumers or interacting with customers, sorry about that, whether it's actually working in the back and working on dry cleaning the clothes or doing the laundry, those kind of items. If it's doing tailor needs in a dry cleaning store, all those kind of things are different things that works in or different opportunities that happen inside that work setting. So you definitely want to take a person, depending on what he or she wants to do, to a similar job setting to see if that's something that fits for them. An example that I just used, you know, a long time ago, I took a person to a dry cleaner and come to find out that the work setting was too hot for them. They didn't enjoy the heat. So that was a good thing that you put on the career profile as, you know what, even though he wants to work in this type of customer-oriented service, he did not like the heat. So climate control, that's a very important thing. And the final thing is job shadows. Also, you can take a person and shadow somebody who's already doing a job. So, for instance, a lot of people at first say they want to work in a mailroom. So, you know, you can take that person and job shadow in a mailroom. Shadow someone who actually works in a mailroom. That job seeker can ask that person information about what they like, what they dislike, the different type of tasks or job tasks they do every day. All these things are great pieces of information that you add to different career profiles. Getting back to family members, because family members is very, very unique aspect of gathering information. I stress on this topic because family members are important, but also everyone has a different view of what family members are. That everyone's view of family is very, very unique to them and what they feel what their family are. You know, you can have a traditional family, mother, father, sister, brothers, aunt, uncles, things like that. You can have a spouse, you have a boyfriend, you have a girlfriend, you have a partner. Those things also are family. Relatives, again, you could be distant cousins, first cousins, second cousins, outside of mom and pop, all those other relatives that make a family. Those are part of family members as well in some aspects. In some people, mine, a guardian, a payee, a landlord, you know, over time, they've become really valuable members of their family in their view as well. payees or landlords or guardians, those are people who have helped that person achieve the goals in their life, maybe other than work. So, of course, in this aspect, that might be a resource for them to gather information as well as their family members. Religious leaders. A lot of times, religious leaders, depending on a person's faith, they are very, very monumental in different cultural settings. A pastor, a priest, they're a good person to get different kind of information from. Community members, definitely people in the community, friends, roommates, those also are very valuable sources that people might feel as family also. I remember in one example, a person who went to the local Dunkin' Donuts every day. That owner of that Dunkin' Donuts store was a real resource to him, and they developed a real good bond. And in his aspect, that was a family member. So that person, that job seeker, used that store manager as a source of information, a source of gaining advice from. So in that aspect, that's also a good source of family members getting information from. And then others in recovery, maybe peers, maybe fellow job seekers, maybe people at other drop-in centers and things like that. Those are also people who have very valuable opinions that people honor and want to hear from. So those view of families, that's not unique. So when doing a career profile, please be open to whatever that job seeker feels that his or her family members. Be open. Gather information. That's valuable information that you can use in your career profile. And, of course, gathering information. You have different type of information that you want to gather, and the more information that you have that will help this career profile be solid, that's a big addition. So, for instance, of course, you're going to capture work goals. You know, what does that person wants to do as far as work? Education, you know, what type of things have that person, educational history and background that person's had. Work experience, of course, what former jobs a person have had in their lives and what did they like, what did they did not like on those jobs. Military experience, if they are veterans or they have been in the military, that's valuable information as well. Again, what they like, what they dislike, what things they feel they were good at. Cultural background, that's important too. Culture is always... Cultural background things are always valuable in different backgrounds. To give you a brief example, I worked with a person, and in his culture, he feels, or their culture feels, that when a person passes, their spirit is also in that clothing that that person has. So, for instance, I took a person to a Salvation Army to gain clothes. And in my mind, I figured that was a good place to gain clothes because, you know, it's not expensive, very good information, very good clothing there. But in his mind, that was not a good place because in his religion or his cultural background, the spirits of those people who give those clothes away are still in their clothes. So that's just an example of how cultural background can also play a part in gathering information on making sure that a person is comfortable at a job or so. Of course, a person's mental health, what kind of things that can help that person be successful, what kind of things that might be a barrier. Earlier, I talked about a person having anger management issues. So, of course, that is something that you might want to know. And so when you do a career profile and you have that information, you can make sure that you have those stop gates that's going to help that person overcome those barriers as far as work. Cognitive areas. That's very important also. For instance, one cognitive thing is memory. So if a person has memory challenges and things like that, you definitely want to know that in your career profile. So when you out job developing for those different places, you can have that in mind and make sure that you have some type of plan for that person to have memory of different type of job tasks they might do on the job. Getting ready for a job. You know, what kind of things that person needs to prepare. Does he need a driver's license? Does she need a Social Security card? Does he or need clothing? Does she need work boots or work shoes? Those kind of things are important as well. interpersonal skills. How does the person react to different people? How does the person interact with different people? You know, do they like working in a setting with a lot of people? Or do they like isolation and just work one-on-one with a person? Those are important things as well. Other information, benefits. That's important as well. You want that benefit information because you want to make sure that once that person sees a benefit planner, they can discuss the different type of benefits that might affect, depending on what their salaries and what their wages are at their job, what might affect that. So that's some important information you want to gather as well. Disclosure. Disclosure is very, very important. When helping a job seeker, there's two type of people. There's a person who wants to disclose that they are working with you and with your agency as far as trying to help find a job. And there's also the people who do not want to disclose. Now, if a person does not want to disclose, of course, you still help that person, but that's always going to be behind the scenes. You're never going to go to that person's job site. You're never going to go directly to that person on their work job site. That's a breach of their confidentiality and breach of their disclosure. So, you know, if it's a person who wants to disclose, of course, those things are very, very fine. But that's something you want to know as you gather information on your career profile. Substance use and legal history. Those two things are important as well. You want to know what kind of barriers that you're going to work with this person, this job seeker, and what things you need to put in place to overcome these barriers. So those two are very things that you definitely want to know. Daily activity. You know, what are the person's hobbies? What does he or she like to do? That's information as well, because if you find a job that within that person's hobby, if a person likes music as a hobby, if a person likes, you know, plays a guitar as a daily activity, then guess what? Maybe one of the first places you're going to find or go seek for jobs is at a music store, at a record store, things like that. So daily activity is important as well. Networking contacts, you know, what type of contacts that person has. You know, an early example I use is that a person had a friend who felt as a family member as a business owner. Well, guess what? Either that business owner can be also, quote unquote, their boss if that person would want to work there, if that person allowed them to work there, if they had the need to work there, or that person can be a contact for a different Dunkin' Donuts shop for that person to be a reference for that person. So most of the jobs, as you know, in the world, only 20% of them are posted in news ads and want ads. The other 70 to 80% of those jobs, people get by hearsay. People get by networking. People get by knowing family members and knowing inside information that a job is about to be hiring people. So those networking contacts are important. Again, information from others. As I just said, you know, most jobs are known outside of internet, outside of the want ads and things like that. It's just knowing the people that you know. And then there's additional notes that you might take as well. All these things are very, very important in gathering information about having a real successful career profile. Reasons for updates. As I said before, a career profile is an ongoing document. It keeps gathering more information. You keep adding information as a person's time on a job, as a person's preferences change, as a person's likes and dislikes change. You want to always update your career profile. Unfortunately, what ends up happening is that you always want to be prepared for if someone comes in, a different employment specialist, a different team leader, a person can come in, or even a different case manager. They can come in and have a thorough career profile and continue the job search right where someone else left off. That's important. So reason for updates. Of course, a hire or job loss. You know, if a person gets hired at a job or a person loses a job, you want to update that profile. You want to say, you know, what things that person did to get hired, and also if that person loses a job, what made that person lose the job? Was it the environment? Was it the people he worked with? Was it the job task itself? There's various reasons why people lose jobs. You want to keep that in mind and add that to your career profile so that will not be a barrier in the future. Or if a person gets a similar job, you can work on that potential barrier that might come as a person gets more tenure at a job. A change in vocational interests. Of course, preferences change all the time. Today a person wants to work in a dry cleaner. Maybe tomorrow that person will work in a mailroom. Maybe after he worked in a mailroom or she worked in a mailroom for a little bit, they want a bigger and better job because now they're exposed to different type of jobs in that setting. So, again, vocational interests they're supposed to change. For me, this is job number 7. So, of course, you know, I learned from job 1 that was working at McDonald's all the way now for working with the Division of Mental Health. I had 7 jobs in between. So each job I had, I learned and gained more experience, more knowledge, and try to develop of things of what I want to do on a better job. Same idea for a job seeker. A change in disclosure preference or a reintroduction of that disclosure topic. Again, as a job search go on, maybe a person at first decides they don't want to disclose. So maybe as job goes on and as, you know, that search for a job becomes more crucial, maybe that person does decide, you know what, now that I got a full understanding of what disclosure is, I will disclose. Or most of the time this happens as a person gets on a job. And then as they get their job and as they start working in a month or 2 months, things start to happen that they might want to disclose so they can get some kind of either ADA assistance or get some more specific assistance from the employment specialist with their job or with their manager or with relations as far as building those natural supports. So that's important. So disclosure is a topic that's always going to be reintroduced every time on your career profile. Benefits planning and benefits consultation. That's important too. At the hire and after a person leaves a job. You know, you always want to make sure as benefits change, every year benefits change, we know that. What we also know is that a person's circumstances as they start to get a paycheck and start to save for different past plans and stuff like that, a person's situation changes. So you want to make sure that benefit planning is always part of your career profile. Again, new interest, new goals, new triggers, new obstacles, new resources, new natural supports, all of that is great information that you want to make sure that gets updated on your career profile. Natural supports change. You could be at one area and you have these natural supports, and all of a sudden, if you shift to a different location, your natural supports change again, you know? So you definitely want to make sure that those natural supports things are always updated on your career profile. Or obstacles. A person could have worked at Target or something like that as a cashier. Then all of a sudden, a new computer system, cash register system, POS system, point of sale system changes. So now that's a new obstacle. So now you want to change down your career profile to help that person better get along with that new point of sale instrument or point of sale merchandising or point of sale cashier needs or computer systems. Those are obstacles that always should change on the career profile. And then as well, new coping strategies. Earlier, we definitely talked about a cognitive issue for memory. Well, you know, one strategy with memory is writing a list of job tasks, a visual list of job tasks, so a person can have something to always refer to so they won't have to remember it so easily. They can just continue to look at their list of job tasks. So new different coping strategies, that's something also you want to add to your career profile, and also when it needs to be updated as well. So different type of tips for the career profile. It should be dated. Start, completion, and updates. Always please update your career profile. Again, it's a living document. So as you go on, as you add information, as job change, as preference changes, you want to keep those dates in mind. You want to add those dates to when those things happen. Again, unfortunately, one reason of the career profile, so if a person, a staff member leaves and another person comes in, you want to know how recent or how current this information is, how recent and current this career profile is, how recent and current updates in the career profile is. So you definitely, that's very, very important. It can also involve community-based information. Observations, informational interviews, employer explorations. Again, I used the example before as a person wanted to do a job tour at a mailroom. That's, you know, a career exploration. So, of course, you want to add the information that you gathered from that session. Did that person like that environment? Did that person like the different job tasks? What did that person really identify as they talked to the different workers that's doing the job tasks they would like to do? Those are all things as well that you want to make sure that you capture on a career profile to make it very comprehensive and very thorough. Observations, again, that's very, very important. As you go out in the community, as you do quote-unquote field trips again, you want to know, in addition to wanting to see the type of jobs in the community, you want to see how that person reacts in the community as far as interaction with people who may come to him or her daily, interactions with people if they're buying a coffee or buying work clothes or things like that. What are those observations that you see? Does that person has a very friendly smile and very friendly working with the community? You know, again, I talked about anger management before. Does that person has an anger management issue that we need to identify and help that person work on in addition with their clinical team? All those things are community-based things that you can only get in the community. You can't really get that information doing a career profile at the provider, at the site, you know, at the clinic, at the place where that provider agency is indoors. You get most information in the community. So you want to take that person in the community to gather and get more information. And please use open-ended questions. You know, yes, no, yes, no. That's the worst kind of questioning that you can give a person as far as gathering information from them. Of course, we all know what open-ended questions are, those type of questions that you can answer when you gather information from that person. You know, why do you like this type of job? You know, how do you think this environment would affect you? Those type of questions is what you want to use on a career profile. So many times when I've looked at career profiles, I see the words, see resume. Please do not have in your work experience section of your career profile say see resume. That does no one any help. You know, looking at a resume just basically shows where that person kind of has worked at and the type of job things they've done on that. Yes, it's helpful, but there's so much more information that you gather as far as the work experience section in that. You know, you explore the negative and positive elements of the position. You explore the job title, employer information, job tasks, dates, telephone numbers, different locations. There's so much stuff that goes in that work experience section that's not necessarily on a resume. So, yes, you can add the resume to part of B of the career profile, but that should not be the only section in the work experience section. Telephone numbers. Why did a person leave a job? Why did a person want to gain this new job? What kind of preferences made you change? What things worked on that job? What type of people were your natural supports on that job? Those are all things that comes in the work experience section. That's not necessarily on a resume. So please, don't just say, see resume and attach a resume to a career profile. Tips, again, when completing assessments, be specific and gather information from diverse sources. Technically, if a person is working with a clinical team and a mental health treatment team and working with an IPS support employment team, if a person reads that career profile, that person should know exactly who that person is without even the names or anything all attached to it. A reader should know and be able to tell who you're talking about without reading that name. That's how you know you got a good profile. That's how you know that your profile is very, very comprehensive because you know who that person is. If the clinical team talks about that person day in and day out, if they read that career profile, they should know who that person is. They should know that person maybe have an anger management problem. They should know that person, you know, likes to be in the community and likes to work in a setting of music. You know, people should know that on the career, looking at a career profile. You know, having a job with poor working conditions could be just as bad for a person's mental health as being unemployed. So that's why it's just a career profile is very, very important. You know, I love IPS because one of the basic principles of IPS is a person's preferences. And you really identify that person's preferences in order to do a very, very good job development and job match with that employer. You know, a bad job match, that can be just as bad as a person's stress levels being unemployed and things like that. You know, I, using myself as example, I wouldn't like to work in food industry. I don't like coming home smelling like McDonald's hamburgers. And just to say, you know, McDonald's is probably a good corporation. But for me and my preferences, I prefer not to work in food. So if my employment specialist were to find a job for me, if I had one, and they placed me in a setting of food, you know, that's, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm not going to want to go on in this career. And so, of course, what's going to happen? Either I'm going to stop coming in and be tardy and not come to work on time because I'm really at a job that I don't want to do, or I'm going to be very, very upset and angry, and those upsetness and my unpleasantness on the job might tend to show at the job, and now here I get a write-up. So either way, if you place somebody in a job they don't want to be in, you're going to have poor results. So please, in order to not do that, you have a very, very thorough career profile. Mental health benefits of working are restricted to good quality jobs. And basically, that's just saying that, guess what? If I'm at a job that I like, that I enjoy, that I think that, you know, like a part of a hobby that I might have, or something that I really enjoy doing because I like to do it in my personal life, I like to do it in my social life, and now I get paid to do something that I enjoy to do, of course I'm going to have a good quality of life. Of course I'm going to feel proud about my job. Of course I'm going to be on time when I go to work. Of course I'm going to enjoy the people that I work with and develop real good natural supports and natural settings around me because I'm in a work environment that I enjoy being. So, of course, my recovery and my mental health is going to be at a better level. The poorest quality of work is comparable to unemployment, and that's a factor of risk for poor mental health. Again, you want to place somebody or help somebody find a job they want to be at. You know, being at a job they don't like, oh, God, what ends up happening is stress comes on because you get anxious. Anxiety starts to set in. You might start to be isolated because you really don't want to be bothered with people at the job because you don't like them because you're not the setting that you like the job in the first place. Those are all factors that you don't want to put a person in or a job seeker in. So please have a thorough career profile. And then job quality is measured by different kind of factors. You know, high job demands, low job control, poor job security, low self-esteem. Those are all factors that's measured by people when they're at a job. So, you know, if the job demands too much, too high, if I think that this job is demanding too much for me and my pay is not equal to this high job demand, guess what? I'm not going to be satisfied. If I have low job control, you know, the things that I like to do, if I don't have control over the things I like to do, and I'm a person who really wants to be motivated and a self seeker of doing different job tasks, and my job don't like me, doesn't want me to do that, guess what? I'm not going to be satisfied. Poor job security. If I feel every day that this might be my last day on my job because of budget cuts, because of termination, because of high turnover rate, because, you know, I feel the manager doesn't like me, and he, I mean, maybe he does, maybe he don't, but if I feel that way, then I'm always going to have this stress, anxiety because of my job security is going to be. And, of course, low self-esteem. You know, if I have low self-esteem on a job, then that's going to affect my work performance. So I definitely want to make sure that I feel good at a place that I think I could be successful at, and so that will help my job esteem. That will help me feel that, yes, I belong here, this is my job. Those are all different factors that's measured by a successful career profile. And so, you know, that's why it's just so, so important that you gather the information, you gather the correct information on your career profile. You know what? I think if the most important thing, if you remember anything I said today, the number one purpose for the career profile is for that job seeker. The job seeker should have total input of what that person wants to do or what he wants to do. That's the most important factor. You know, it's for that client. It's not for the employment specialist. It's not for mom and pop. It's not for the mental health treatment team. That career profile has been created and designed to benefit that job seeker, that client, to get a good job in the community, a job that he or she wants to do. So keep that in mind. You know, sometimes I see that people add to career profile stuff that they want to be on a career profile, and not necessarily what that consumer or that person's job seeker's preference is on the work file. So, of course, you want to make sure that career profile is focused on that job seeker. A few more notes. You know, a career profile is not just a Patch Fidel review. You know, you're not doing a career profile so you can have a good fidelity or exemplary fidelity on an IPS Fidel review. You're doing that career profile because you want to help that person find a job. That career profile is not to just please an IPS trainer, a Fidel reviewer, a clinical team member, the IPS team leader. That profile is not to please them. It is to please that consumer, to make sure he or she has a great basis on finding a job that he or she wants to do. It's also not just to have documentation for a CARF visit or a joint commission review. You know, yes, that's part of it when they come through the reviews. But you're doing a career profile not to please them. You're doing it, again, to gather precise information so you can have a good job reference to try to find a job for that person. And, again, it's not just to open a person to VR or to the Division of Rehab Service, Rehabilitation Services. It's not for that. Again, the basis for the career profile is for the client or for that job seeker to get a job. So all those things I just mentioned, those are not the number one priorities to get and to do a career profile. The number one priority for a career profile is to make sure that you have all the needed and gathered information that will make an enjoyable job search for that client. So he or she knows, or that job seeker knows, this is a job that I want to do. This is part of my recovery. This is part of what I want to do to make me feel part of the community, to make me feel part of a workforce, to make me feel part of a citizen of the state of Illinois. So because of that, that is the most important thing about this today. That is what the career profile is for. So again, in closing, I just want to make sure that we all know the importance of developing a very strong and very capable career profile. It's an ongoing document. It should happen over two or three occasions. It's engaging the job seeker. It's engaging the clinical team. It's engaging those desired family members or who that job seeker feels are his or her family members. It's getting different information from clinical records and data systems and all that kind of stuff. You want to just make sure you have a very, very career thorough profile to make sure you have a great basics to find what that person wants are as far as their preferences. Thank you today. Thank you for listening to this presentation on the career profile. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to refer them on this web portal. We will have a section on this web portal that if you have questions and all that kind of stuff, you can send your questions to it. About this training or any other training, and hopefully someone will get back to you with a good answer for you. Thank you so much, and bye.
Thank you for listening. You can listen to additional podcasts or download a transcript by visiting us at www.sampleips.weebly.com/learn_about_ips.html and scrolling down to the podcast library.